Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown to prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Amen.
And people need freedom. People need freedom. How do we know people need freedom? Well, just go down to your local supermarket and try and queue. And people are impatient with each other in the queue. I hope that's not you. You in the queue. Go for a drive. You take 1 second too long to pull off and there's a hoot and even a fist. Sign language is becoming very popular on the roads nowadays. People need freedom in their lives. Freedom from the things that bind them. And today we're looking at your peel and onion. Before we get into it, our main verse for the year is John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So we can see the journey of discipleship there. We've got to hold to. What do we have to hold to? And who's teaching? Jesus. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a teaching thing. We need to be taught the truth. And we learn the truth from the Word. Amen. The next big verse we've been looking at throughout this whole series, and yes, I know I have mentioned it every single sermon for the past 8 weeks. If you're not counting, I am. Let's put that next verse up, please, Julian. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we are created to be like God in two aspects. It doesn't say we're created to be like God, full stop, but we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And it's an attitude of the mind. It's an attitude of the mind. What do you think about yourself? What do you think about others? What do you think about the Lord? Today, I want to talk to you. And thanks for the background music, Anne. Please be seated, and we look forward to a bit more worship in a few moments' time. Today, I want to talk to you about perhaps the most difficult topic in our discipleship journey. And often when we think of difficult topics, we think it's going to be a talk on morality or a talk on, can we mention the word from the pulpit, sex. But actually, even more difficult than talking on morality issues, and even more difficult than speaking about biblical sexual standards. That's quite a good title, don't you think? Biblical sexual standards. Anyway, moving on from that thought, that's for another day, I think. We're going to do an even more difficult topic, and it's got to do with an onion. I mean, how many of us like peeling an onion? I mean, for one, we're usually reduced to tears, unless you've got some form of scooper gear going in the kitchen. And the other thing, I don't, you know, unless you wear gloves, you know, for the next week, your hand smells of onion. No matter what you do, you scrub and everything just doesn't go away, that smell. And that leads me directly into what today is about. In our lives, we can have layers and layers and layers and layers put on us by other people. What other people say to us, what other people think about us, we can even feel that suggestive thinking towards us sometimes. What other people not only think about us, what other people not only say about us, but what other people do to us. And whenever I start talking on a topic like this, because look, I'm going to be frank with you, and I'm going to spill the beans and peel the onion and let you know the topic is forgiveness. I decided not to put the topic forgiveness, forgiving from the heart, like the Freedom in Christ title, in our update, just in case somebody walked in who needed to deal with it and saw it and walked away. So I put to peel an onion. It's a little hook. So if you feel the hook to in, well, praise the Lord, it worked. Look, this is a sensitive topic, I know. And you know, most times when I preach, wherever I preach and wherever in the world I preach on this topic, it's usually followed up by emails or conversations or visits with people saying, but Kevin, you don't know what I'm going through. How can you stand up there and preach on forgiveness when you don't know what I'm going through? So let me just demyth, I don't know what you're going through, and say, yes, it's true. I may not know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through. The Lord God Almighty knows what you're going through. Secondly, allow me to say this, that I'm not going to come up with any wise sayings from the world this morning. We're going to look at Scripture. So it's not my philosophy on forgiveness or the church's philosophy or some kind of classroom theology that never progressed out of the window of the classroom. We're going to look directly at what Scripture says about it. And the end goal of this morning is freedom. Knowing that forgiveness, I need to say this, for some people, forgiveness is a switch. Like this light has a switch over here. Right, I need to forgive so-and-so. Right, I'm walking a bit of darkness because I haven't forgiven so-and-so. Lord, today, I switch over, the light goes on, I'm forgiven, and then the light goes on again. For some people, it's like a switch. However, probably for the vast majority of people, it's like peeling an onion. Because so many different layers have been placed upon you, you start. You know, there's somebody I thought I'd forgiven recently. I'll come clean. How about that? Your pastor coming clean. And we're recording this for everybody to hear. So I thought I'd forgiven somebody. You know, in every facet and aspect of life, you think, oh, Kevin, you're a minister. You must have a stress-free, worry-free life. Well, I thought I'd forgiven someone, and I was in a lovely supermarket in Loughton the other day, the one that begins with an M, and I thought, I'm going to look for all the little deals at this lovely M&S, and you know, when they mark the things down with a nice big yellow. We're really into the yellow theme this morning, in this nice big yellow label, and I'm happily going along, and I've got my little basket of goodies, and I go towards the cash register, and instantly I see somebody that had really hurt me repeatedly by the words and actions. And everything on the inside of me froze, and I literally wanted to get sick in the supermarket. I mean, the manager would have loved me, you know. But that's how I felt, and I thought, Lord, why do I feel this way? I genuinely have got down onto my knees. I've forgiven this person. I've released them. I've even prayed a prayer of blessing over them. And the Lord said to me, my boy, he put his hand on my shoulder like he does. It's just another layer. Get rid of it. When? before you check out with me and get rid of that layer. So that's what I did there in the middle of M&S. I didn't run up to the person and say, hi, remember me? I just want to tell you, I've forgiven you. No, that would have created something even worse, because maybe the person didn't realize that they'd done something to offend me. And that's the thing with forgiveness. If it offends you, you probably need to forgive. If it offends you, you probably need to forgive. So before I checked out with the Lord, and I could honestly eat all the food I bought at a markdown express fantastic rate with a clear conscience before the Lord because of the forgiveness that had taken place right there and then. But you know, forgiveness is a terrible thing, or unforgiveness is a terrible thing, whichever way you want to look at it. You know, sometimes there can be a small little misunderstanding between people, and we know what the enemy, Satan, can do. He can drive a massive wedge into the smallest little misunderstanding. That's why, as Christians, it's good to live with short accounts towards people. You know, to constantly speak the blessing of the Lord out over people's lives. But sometimes it's not a small thing. Sometimes it is out and out intentional. Sometimes, in fact, if you really had to look at it biblically, some things that people do against you or me as human beings is absolutely evil. It's rooted in the demonic. It is filthy and it is evil and it is very cruel. And it's at these times, no matter if it's a small thing with a giant wedge put there by the enemy, or it's a massive, evil, cruel, intentional act against you and against your integrity and against your purity and against who you are. What we need to do is realize this, that our hearts have become fertile ground for the seeds of wounds to be planted and for the seeds of strongholds that are not of the Lord to be planted in our lives. All sorts comes in. We turn bitter. We see the person and we just wish, if only you knew what I wanted to do to you. We think that, don't we? Let's just be real this morning, okay? And very often, a wound in the past, we've managed to manage it. And we've managed to bury it somewhere right at the bottom of our hearts. And when we are in a circumstance or a similar circumstance, or we see a person again that brought that wound and it's been buried, well, there is a resurrection, and not a holy resurrection. There's a resurrection of all sorts of things in our lives that just don't produce the fruit that the Lord is looking for. So forgiveness is difficult. And I think forgiveness is particularly difficult sometimes for Christians because I don't think we understand it properly. We somehow think, I think we have a fairy tale version of forgiveness, that somewhere along the line, someone has hurt me, and there's some great big, excuse me for saying it this way, but let's just say it this way, there's some great big magic wand out there, and it's going to just sprinkle its fairy dust all over the hurt, and we're going to be fine. When in actual fact, it's an onion. We need to deal with the layers, and the layers of emotion, and the layers of abuse, and the layers of anger, and the layers of rejection, and the layers of betrayal, and the layers of injustice. Big stuff. Big stuff. So although I may not know what you may be going through listening to the message this morning, I know the intensity of this message for every single person here and every single person listening to the podcast. And probably this is one of those Sundays where you said, if only I listened to the inner voice of the flesh and went to Starbucks instead of coming to church. But it's not going to be a heavy. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at it biblically, the whole topic of peeling an onion, forgiveness. Let me list a few things that what forgiveness does not mean. Okay, so first one there. And Julian, you're going to just work with me on this. It does not mean approving of what someone else did. It doesn't mean what they did to you is okay. So remove the magic wand with the fairy dust. Let's look at this biblically. It doesn't mean approving of what someone else did. If it's evil, it's evil. That's it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. There's no, oh, well, I may have done something to deserve it. I may have caused a reaction. No, we are holistically responsible for ourselves in the sight of God. If someone's wronged you, they've wronged you. We can't approve of what they've done. Next. It does not mean pretending that the evil never took place. Just think about that one. We're going to just work through the list now. Next one. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. Oh, you know, it's just really their personality. They always like that. No, no, no. We can't excuse other people's bad behavior. And one thing we don't do as Christians as well is we don't reward bad behavior. When I was in high school, for those who took the bus to school, they had a bus prefect. Now, they used to choose the naughtiest kid on the bus to be the bus prefect in the hope that he would become or she would become better behaved. But we don't excuse bad behavior. Okay? Two wrongs don't make a right. It does not mean justifying evil so that sin somehow becomes less sinful. You know, it's just a sign of the times. It's just one of those things. It's just live. No. We cannot undermine the sinfulness of sin. Next. It does not mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't matter that they did it to me. It just really, they can get away with it. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. It's a big deal. Next one. It does not mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. We don't deny the hurt. Next. It does not mean letting others walk all over you. As Christians, we are called to humble ourselves, but Jesus never said become a doormat. Humility and abuse don't belong in the same universe. Next. Forgiveness does not mean, I think I've got some more, refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed. Next one. It does not mean forgetting the wrong that was done. Forgive and forget. Well, there are boundaries. There are boundaries. And we'll get more into that hopefully in the sermon or at a later stage. Next one. It does not mean pretending that you were never hurt. Next one. It does not mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was. This is a big deal, isn't it? I think as Christians, we naturally want to fix everything. But it doesn't mean that a previous relationship is restored to what it once was. Let's move on. It does not mean that you must become best friends again. It does not mean there must be a total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. It does not mean that you must tell the person that you have forgiven them. It does not mean that all negative consequences of sin are cancelled. Now, let me just very plainly say right now that I know that this is difficult, but what we're trying to do this morning is get a biblical perspective on things. And you know, some of you have had people gossip about you. Some of you have had people lie about you. Maybe someone's taken advantage of you. Maybe someone's betrayed your innocence or cheated you or abandoned you. And you know, maybe someone's hurt someone you love. Maybe one of your children they've hurt or somebody you really, 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 really love. You know, you think, you know, you can touch me, but don't touch my kids. You can touch me, but don't touch those who I love. Now, I just want to acknowledge today that I know, again, that there are people going through a lot of stuff here today. And I know that this is a challenging message, but I do preach it biblically, on the word, and in all the Christian love in my heart for everyone listening to this. Forgiveness does mean something, though, according to Jesus. Forgiveness does mean that we forgive from the heart. That's what forgiveness means. We forgive from the heart. Mark Twain once said the following: forgiveness is the fragrance the violet gives to the hill that crushed it. You've heard it on the Freedom in Christ course. Our next quote: you'll never be more like Jesus than when you forgive. It's the most Jesus-like thing we can do is to forgive. And you'll never be set free until you forgive. Because really, what we find out when you forgive, it's not the other person only that was in bondage. Your unforgiveness was keeping you bound. Your unforgiveness was keeping you chained up in bondage. Maybe somebody at work betrayed you. Maybe a close friend let you down. Maybe your mom and dad rejected you. Or maybe you have a child that has rejected you, a spouse. And something about the spouse's past has recently come to light and it's brought hurt and unforgiveness into your life. Maybe the marriage vows have been broken and it's brought hurt and unforgiveness and anger and bitterness into your life. Maybe you are angry with yourself. Maybe you are angry with the Lord. Maybe you prayed and you prayed and you fasted and you fasted and you prayed till there were holes in your jeans. You didn't have to go out and buy the latest fashion. Your prayer life made holes in your jeans for you. And the Lord, you feel, just didn't come through for you. Maybe there's an anger issue with the Lord this morning, an unforgiveness issue with the Lord. Maybe you are unforgiving towards yourself. This morning, as I've been praying about this message, this morning I want to say this to you. That all week it has been on my heart that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I want to speak that out in biblical terms and in faith terms and in Christ freedom terms over every life and circumstance here this morning, that what is impossible with God is what is impossible with man is possible with God. Let's get that right. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And that's life. That's the faith journey. I'll never forget. It's not a forgiveness issue. It was actually a sending thing. When we were sent and we moved over to this country, prophetically it was spoken out over us at a conference by Ralph Naber, whom you may or may not have heard about. He was the father of the modern cell church movement. And he looked at Isabel and myself as he laid hands on us and he said, "What you're going to go and do in the kingdom in the UK is impossible. But it's him possible." And whatever you're going through this morning, I want to say it may seem impossible, but it is him possible. God can make it a possibility in your life for you. So let's start with asking the big question. And I've only got two suggestions to answer this question this morning. Why should I forgive? Why forgive? Because unforgiveness hurts you. It's not only the hurt of the thing that hurts you, it's the unforgiveness of the thing that hurts you. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. A bitter root. That's what unforgiveness does. You may have even forgotten about something, but there could still be a bitter root holding on the inside, a grudge, a bitterness that grows deep down inside, something that was never dealt with properly, a layer of the onion which you know the Lord has got to peel off. We know that when we encounter the truth sets us free, but often before it sets us free, the truth hurts, and then the truth sets us free. Just like the onion can bring tears to our eyes, but a revelation to the dish you're putting it in. You know, how do you know if you're bitter? Usually the general rule of thumb in answering the question, how do you know you're bitter? How do I know if I've got a root of bitterness in my life? The way I would answer the question is this: have I kept a record of wrongs? When I look at that person, how do I feel? What do they do to me? Do I think, look how they're looking at me? they're judging me. They've looked me up and down. Have you seen the way they talk? Have you seen their social circles? Have you seen the way they carry themselves? That's an alarm. Boop, 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 going off. There's a root of bitterness. There's a root of bitterness. And the writer to the Hebrews says to us, let's be sure that no root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So why should I forgive? Because unforgiveness hurts me. Unforgiveness hurts you. Unforgiveness, has been said, is like grabbing broken glass and squeezing it in our hands. And Lamotte put it this way, unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and hoping it kills the other person. So why should I forgive? Number one, because unforgiveness hurts you. Why should I forgive? Number two, because you will need forgiveness again. All of us in this room will need forgiveness again. We will need forgiveness again from the Lord. We will need forgiveness again from each other. We will need, if you're married, you're going to need forgiveness again from your spouse. If you're at work, you're going to need forgiveness from work colleagues. It is just the way life is. And Jesus says something directly in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a big scripture. I'm going to just let it sink in. In fact, it's so big that the scripture speaks for itself. It actually doesn't really need any exposition in preaching. And a little later on in Matthew, Jesus wanted to get this point of forgiveness across. And he told a parable about a master who had a servant, and the servant owed the master 10,000 talents. What's 10,000 talents? It's not like, you know, talent contest. Not Britain's Got Talent. It was referring to money. And Jesus used a gross exaggeration, what do you call that, a hyperbole, to bring across a major point. In other words, what he was saying, and the Bible does say that, that what he owed could never be repaid. In fact, when I looked this up and wanted to grasp, some Bible commentators reckon it was in excess of billions and billions of pounds. And one Bible commentator went as far as to say, and I'll just put it to you, I don't know how true this is, but went as far as to say that this 10,000 denarii was worth 150,000 years of labor. So here's this man. Let's say this is true, that it was 150,000 years worth of labor. And this master forgave the servant. Let's look at it there from verses 32 to 35. Then the master called the servant in. And this was after. Now remember what the servant did. This servant went back. And when the servant went back to his little village, immediately on coming into his little village, another servant came to him. And this other servant only owed a day's wages compared to 150,000 years worth of wages. And he asked, will you forgive me? And the servant says, no. And the master found out about this, and this is where the scripture comes in. Yeah, that was the context. Yeah, it's the scripture. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Let's think. Let's pause there. Let's think about the debt that Jesus has canceled over all of our lives. What Jesus has done for me, but he has canceled in my life the sins he's forgiven me of. And I'm sure you'll feel the same. It feels like he's canceled at least 150,000 years worth of debt. Because those who have been forgiven much love much. That doesn't mean you go out and do a lot of stuff so that you can be forgiven much. What that means is you appreciate the forgiveness. That whether you grew up sheltered or whether you grew up, you know, in a rough and tough tumble kind of a way, doesn't really matter. Because we all can love much when we appreciate what Jesus has done for us. So we've been forgiven. Shouldn't you have had mercy, verse 33, on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Yeah, I was a servant, a fellow servant. I know we are children of God, so I'm not calling us servants, but we are fellow children of the Lord. Imagine you being forgiven, set free from a debt that would have taken you 150,000 years to repay. And you walk into church on Sunday, and a Christian says to you, you know, can you just forgive me for last week wanting to sit in your seat? Never! I'm taking you to a meeting! I know it's a ridiculous example. I need a bit of comic relief every now and again. Why are there responses like that? I need to go back to a previous scripture on the root of bitterness. That's a root of bitterness because it defiles many. When we are bitter, if you are bitter, it doesn't only defile you, it defiles many. All in the perimeter of you, yourself, the bitterness becomes defiled. That's why forgiveness is like an onion, layer by layer. Look at verse 34. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. In other words, he could never do it. 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We usually don't put our Heavenly Father in the same context of being handed over, do we? We like to think loves and sweeties and all things nice. But God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God is also just. God has a whole justice system built into him. And like we've learned on Freedom in Christ, God tells us not to take revenge, but God will always do the right thing. And in God's economy, whether in this life or in the judgment to come, the scales will be balanced. And that's a step of faith. That's why, as Christians, not taking revenge is a step of faith. It is a step of faith because we are placing our hurt, our defilement, everything bad that's been done against us into the hands of God. And we actually walk on water when we do that. That's water walking stuff. And we're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. You are the supreme judge. In eternity, the scales will have to be balanced because God is just and all his ways are right. Anybody got a coin on them this morning? I promise I'll give it back to you. I do live by the Bible verse, thou shalt not steal. Yours is just bulging with coins. Okay, there we go. I've got a, what is this? We hardly use money anymore. So this is what a £1 coin looks like. It's got two sides, doesn't it? God is love, and God is just, the same God. And he will make sure, thanks Toby, all my witness, I've given it back. And he will make sure that the scales balance. It's not up to you or me to seek revenge. God will sort it out for you if you step out in faith and forgive from the heart. Now, let's go into super fast mode. So those two questions answered the why. Now we're going to answer the how. How do I do this? How do I do this? And it sounds simple, but it's actually really difficult because it's layers coming off of us, like on this onion. Start with prayer. Now, not the kind of prayer that says, Lord, so and so, they did this to me, please strike them with hemorrhoids. Or, Lord, please, when they're out walking in the Epping Forest, make sure the lightning hits them. I know we are tempted to pray prayers like that from time to time, but we are encouraged to pray like Jesus prayed. What did Jesus pray on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When did Jesus pray that? He prayed that in his moment of agony. In our moment of agony, it's impossible for us to do this, But Jesus can make it possible. And I know this hurts because we are peeling layers of the onion off. But the aim of today is not to leave you hurt. It's to get God's healing into every life. Yeah, because I know this applies to every person, even the preacher himself. Look at Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So back in those times, with the Greeks and with the Romans, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if somebody cut off your arm, well, you could go and cut off their arm. I think some of us would still like to live in a world like that. But that's not the world that Jesus calls us to live in. That's not the kingdom. In fact, what Jesus was saying was totally radical. What Jesus was saying here was shocking. What he was saying was revolutionary. He said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. It's not they've chopped your arm off, so go sharpen your axe, boy. You're going to get into a duel and you're going to chop that guy's arm off. He said, pray for them. Love them. And pray for those who persecute you. Wow. You see, did you know that during that time, those times, that the Romans worshipped revenge as one of their gods? You've heard of the Greek goddess Nemesis? She was adopted as the imperial deity of retribution. So in their belief and thought system of the day was, there's a God, and this God is retribution. This God is revenge. But Jesus said, no. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through him. And in and through him, it's not an eye for an eye. It's not a tooth for a tooth. But we pray for those who persecute us, and we love our enemies. Look at Romans 12, 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. It's very interesting that it says leave room for God's wrath. Could that suggest that if we are in the room, it leaves no room for God's wrath? In Freedom in Christ, we've learned that God promises that if you hand the matter over to him, he will ensure that it is not swept under the carpet. When you forgive, although you are letting the person off your hook, you're not letting them off God's hook. God has said, I will repay. And we feel a sense of seriousness in the room this morning. Here's another one. We can't wait till we feel like it, because, you know, chances are we'll never feel like forgiving someone. It's one of those times where our actions have got to go out first, and then our emotions catch up over time. That's faith. That's like stepping out onto the water. Forgiveness is stepping out onto the water in faith, and then our emotions. Otherwise, we'll just never feel like it. And forgiving from the heart has got nothing to do with our feelings. It's got to do with, and I say that with respect, it's got to do with obeying the word. Lord, I'm going to do this. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Everything in my natural flesh says, no. But Jesus, you are saying, be still and know that the Lord is in control. Still the revenge. Still the rage. He will still the storm. You've got to forgive. I'm going to bring you to a prayer in my conclusion. I'm going to conclude in about 4 minutes or so. So I'm going to skip the prayer now and go on to the second point of how to forgive. Number one is pray. Number two is to forgive as you have been forgiven. How have you been forgiven? Jesus has totally and completely and utterly forgiven you. Look at Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. Think of the beautiful Christian friendships there can be in the kingdom when we forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. We know that Peter asked Jesus one time in Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That just means this is a picture of keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on forgiving. What about abusive situations? I heard a pastor say this, and I agree with him, and the Freedom in Christ course says this as well. Forgiving doesn't mean you've got to go back into an abusive situation. In fact, I have an illustration of a lady going to see her pastor, and the lady said to the pastor, "I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray prayers of forgiveness at home." And the pastor said, "You don't need to go home. You can pray those prayers from a distance." I'm not undermining that the Lord can heal anything. But don't put yourself in an abusive situation thinking that God wants you to be abused. So in Freedom in Christ, we have learned that forgiveness draws a line in the sand. It's a wake-up call. If you don't put an end to abuse, it just continues. Forgiveness is not seeking revenge. And we somehow think that forgiving them means sweeping it under the carpet and it doesn't matter. But we don't take revenge. We leave room for God's wrath. Part of forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of what someone else has done to you. The course goes on to say that we know that's not fair. Your only choice is to live with those consequences in the freedom of forgiveness and the freedom that Christ gives you. And again, if you felt offended, whether right or wrong, you need to forgive. In conclusion, and after this, we're going to pray a prayer as well. And in conclusion, I want to briefly just run through what we did in Freedom in Christ, the steps to forgiving. And then I'm going to put 2 prayers up on the screen. And you've got a blank piece of paper. And I'm going to encourage you to write down people's names or situations that you may feel you need to forgive, or circumstances, or institutions, or places, and just allow the Lord to deal with you. So what we're going to do now, Julian, let's just work through the next steps to forgiveness. So with that piece of paper in mind, we're going to think of this. We're going to just run through this, just as a matter of fact. Let's just go. Work with me, Julian. Here we go. Number one. Ask God to reveal to your mind the people you need to forgive. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you need to forgive God. Maybe you need to forgive others. Number two, acknowledge the hurt and the hate. Acknowledge it. It's true. It's there. You can't deny it. Number three, understand the significance of the cross. When your heart says this is not fair, remember that justice is in the cross. Justice is in the cross. Number four, decide that you will bear the burden of each person's sin. In other words, you choose to forgive. Number six, take your list to God. Number seven, I'll show you how to take your list to God in the conclusion. Destroy the list. So this morning we have a paper shredder up front here. Do you welcome, during our last one of our worship songs, to come and shred the list. If you want to sort it out privately with the Lord, that's fine, but just destroy the list, okay? You don't have to do it in church, but for some of us, you may want to. It may be your step of faith to do it here this morning. Okay, so you don't leave with it. But that's your layer, and you deal with it fittingly. Okay, number eight. Do not expect that forgiving others will result in a change in them. It changes you, it doesn't necessarily change them. And that's not your responsibility. That's theirs. Number nine. try to understand the people you have forgiven. Now, not trying to understand to wash away their sin, but trying to understand to have some form of compassion, but not trying to understand that what they did didn't matter. Number 10, expect positive results of forgiveness in you. Expect the positive results. Number 11, thank God for what you have learned and the maturity gained. This will help mature us. Number 12, and lastly, accept your part of the blame for the offenses you suffered. So if you to blame in some area, just accept it, acknowledge it, confess it, give it to the Lord, and it's under his blood. And we move on. We move on. At the stroke of midday, we're going to put the prayer up. Should be the next one. Dear Heavenly Father, I choose to forgive. And then you name the people or events or situations or institutions or places on your list for what they did or failed to do. Because it made me feel. Now write down or think about the painful feelings. Maybe it's rejection, made you feel dirty, made you feel worthless or inferior. And it's often in those things that strongholds, negative strongholds, are formed in our lives. Because somebody made you feel somehow, you could be walking around with an inferiority complex. And the Lord wants to release you from that. See how forgiveness is good for you. So I'm going to give you a moment. I know a moment's probably not long enough. But maybe you managed to get half a person's name down or one person's name down this morning. At least it's a start. At least you've started peeling the onion. So can we do that now, please? Lord, I just trust you to work in our hearts right now. Just let there be sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit and help us just release things out of our lives this morning, in Jesus' name. So we're thinking of our list. Dear Heavenly Father, I choose to forgive for what they did or failed to do because it made me feel. Maybe you'd like to pray that now to the Lord yourself. If so, please do it now. Put the next prayer up. Lord Jesus, I choose not to hold onto my resentment. I relinquish my weight, my right should be the word there, my apologies, my right to seek revenge and ask you to heal my damaged emotions. Thank you for setting me free from the bondage of my bitterness. And I ask you to bless those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we relinquish our right to seek revenge, and we ask Jesus to heal our damaged emotions. We thank him for setting us free from the bondage of our own bitterness. And we ask you to bless those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the band up right now.